Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yeah, the US music giant Quincy Jones has passed away. Most famous, of course, for producing albums like you've just heard, Michael Jackson's Thriller, collaborating with artists like Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles. He'll be massively missed by many in the music world. But Irish singer-songwriter and producer Ruth Ann is with us on the show today because, Ruth Ann, you knew and met Quincy Jones.
I did. I'm so sad to hear about his passing today. I mean, he's one of my heroes. His music shaped my whole childhood, as many people's childhoods. But in 2017, I was actually invited to his house in LA for a dinner. He hosted a dinner for some songwriters and producers, about 15 of us. And it was a beautiful event. I actually couldn't believe it was happening when I was like, wait, at his house? And then we went, and he was so welcoming. And we jammed, we chatted. He told me stories about staying at Bono's house in Ireland in the 70s.
No way.
He used to stay with Bono when he would come here in the 70s. And he actually didn't believe I was Irish. He was like, you're not Irish. He was like, you're too soulful. I was like, there's a lot of soul in Ireland, Quincy. I remember that night, him just opening the doors of his house and being so encouraging and so inspiring. And we sang and we jammed. And then he actually had a room, a big room of all his awards and plaques. And when I tell you, he was like, go look in the room. It was every award you could think of, Grammys, Oscars, you know, Emmys, Golden Globes, all the biggest plaques for Michael Jackson's Thriller album you've ever seen. Obviously, that's the biggest selling album of all time, which he produced. And so it was just incredible to be in his presence. And like they say, never meet your heroes, but that statement couldn't be less true when it comes to Quincy Jones. Yeah. He was incredible.
Like,
incredible man.
I can imagine, you know, I mean, this must have just been your absolute dream as a producer, songwriter, yeah, to get the invite to this party, Ruth Ann.
Yeah, I didn't really believe it was happening. I kept being like, yeah, sure. But it's Quincy Jones. And anyone, if you know the music of Quincy Jones, which is, you know, everything, then anyone will be starstruck. And I don't really get starstruck often, but with people, anyone from my childhood, I do. So meeting him was like just a dream come true for any songwriter, producer. And for him to be so nice and chat with everyone and give everyone the time and encourage everyone. And you could just see how much he loved the creative community and how much he loved music, and watching him jam that night and just so happy, you know, singing and listening to people sing. And it was just so amazing to be around someone. He was telling us stories about different of the Michael Jackson hits and different lyrics that had changed. And, you know, Thriller was originally Starlight. And, you know, there was all different lyrics that were meant to be in songs. And we got to hear kind of like the first hand accounts of those songs, which was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Side.
This was at his home in LA, Ruth Ann, was it?
Yeah, this was at his home in LA. I lived there for a while, and this was at his home in LA, yeah. What? Beautiful home.
I was just about to say, what was the house like? I'm sure you had a snoop around.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I can't fully remember because it was 2017, but it was huge, obviously.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I just remember walking in and being like, whoa, this is an icon, legend, like what you would expect an icon and legend's house to be like. And he was such a family man as well. Family were there. It was just like such a beautiful night. And I think all of us that were in there, and I was in there with some huge songwriter producers who were also like starstruck and pinching themselves. And I mean, yeah, it was just an incredible night that I'll remember forever. And we got pictures together. And yes, it was just a beautiful, beautiful night. And he's left such a legacy. Like, most music is inspired by Quincy Jones. You know, that's the thing, is that we're
in what way? Just explain that to me, Ruth Ann.
Well, he really came up with Michael Jackson's sound and so many people's sound and the sonics and, you know, using synthesizers in the 80s for the first time. And it was all technology that we didn't have back then, that he kind of was one of the groundbreaking producers to start using certain synths, certain sounds. And the music of Michael Jackson, that was, you know, his biggest artist that he worked with. Mm. That music changed the face of music forever, you know, how fresh it was, how unique it was. And he just had a production style that you just knew this is a Quincy Jones record. And his attention to detail, working with musicians, You know, and so he just is one of the best to have ever done it. And the legacy that he's left will live forever, and the stamp that he's put on music. People only ever hope they can make music as good as Quincy, you know.
So for all of those in the music industry, and I'm sure much further afield as well, but obviously a sad day for those in the industry hearing the news today.
Definitely such a sad day, because anyone who met him, he was just so lovely and a lovely person to be around. And when you meet people who are that talented, you don't always expect them to be that nice and to be that giving, but he really, really was. So yeah, definitely a sad day today for everyone in the music industry and his family, of course.
All right, listen, we'll leave it there for the moment. Ruthann, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. Arts journalist and broadcaster Pat Carthy is with me too. Pat, just put his work into context.
Well, as Ruthann, I can't match up to Ruthann, first of all. I was never in his house, so I can't say that. First
you haven't
of
been invited to any private party.
No, and I hardly will be now at this stage. But just to reiterate what she's saying, she's very accurate there when she talks about the sound that he made. What he'll be remembered for most, I mean, there's an awful lot of achievements in his life and we can go through them all, but what he'll be remembered for most, I presume, is his work with Michael Jackson. And the work with Michael Jackson, starting off with Off the Wall, which was the album before Thriller, which sold, a tidy 20 million copies when it came out in 1979. And then through Thriller and Bad was the last one they worked together. I mean, as Ruthann said, they really did change the sound of music. If you think of just from one strand of music, American R&B from the 80s onwards is built out of what they did together, is built out of what the sound of Off the Wall, certainly, and Thriller more, obviously because it sold more copies. It sold more copies than anything else. Mm. 65 million was a figure I pulled out this morning, which is ridiculous when you think about it. You know, I mean, if a record sells a couple of thousand now, it's a hit, but 65, can you imagine? 65 million. And I mean, I was just the right age when that came out. That came out in 1982, so I would have been, 10 or 11. And it's the first record I bought with my own.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
And I still have the same copy at home. It doesn't play too well, but it's still there. But he really did change everything. And again, as Ruthann was saying, there is a sound that you can hear on those records that's still incredibly strong. Like, just take one song from it, Billie Jean, which is a masterpiece, really. You know, no matter what Michael Jackson, his reputation was a bit tarnished later on. No need to go into that. But the songs stand up. It's an incredible legacy, really.
I'm sure many over the years, by way of producers and singer-songwriters, have tried to replicate what Quincy Jones did. Have many mastered it to the same extent?
Not really. No, not really. I mean, I suppose what the best ones would do would take what he did and kind of move off in their own direction. So if you think around the same time that maybe someone like Chic, Nile Rodgers, was doing something, and then combine that, I suppose those are the two things that combined. Both of them coming out of disco, which was so big in the late 70s. And then, as I say, all that R&B, you could trace a line from that up to, what people at Beyonce are doing now. There really is a line all the way through in that. And I don't want to say black music, but it is mostly black music. But
He worked as well, or collaborated with Frank Sinatra.
He did, yeah, he did.
By way of a different genre.
I mean, he had met him earlier on. He started off as a trumpeter himself when he was in school. He was born in 1933 and he was a professional musician. He was in college studying music and left because he was offered a job and toured around Europe as an arranger. But his arrangement, he got work with Ray Charles and people like that, and that led him eventually to Frank Sinatra. Now, there's an album called It Might As Well Be Swing from 1964, which he arranged, but there's a brilliant one that's really not heard of too much called Sinatra at the Sands. It's a live album from 1966, a fantastic record. And years later, when he was the hottest producer in the world after working with Michael Jackson, they did a thing that everybody I know called L.A. Is My Lady in 1984. And the other thing he did around then, which we'd have to touch on, is We Are the World, which I heard you playing earlier
on.
Yeah,
we played that.
And so he was at the Music Awards, and you can imagine there'd be an awful lot of egos flying around at that. So he dragged everyone into the studio. And what he did was he put up a sign outside the studio saying, listen, leave your egos at the door. Check your ego at the door is what it said, actually. And then he was saying, listen, we don't want to make a record about hunger in tuxedos. So everyone had come from this award. So yeah, but there's a documentary, people can go and look at it. It's not long out, up on Netflix. I think it's called The Greatest Night in Pop. Just a bit of understatement there about that. And you can see that Quincy Jones is laying down the law. He's in charge. So you have people like Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, Bono, who he's friends with, who we'll come to later on.
Yeah.
And of course, Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson, everyone else is in their civvies, and Michael Jackson is in the gear with the glove and everything, the diamond glove, and pretty much looks like an alien, really. but it's an incredible insight to how in control he was. Mm. He was the boss. There was no messing.
Yeah. Just finally on that, and Ruth Ann mentioned it too, his friendship with Bono.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they worked together in philanthropy. And so there is a thing, a foundation called the Quincy Jones Listen Up Foundation, which they're both involved with, which built more than 100 homes in South Africa, apart from anything else. I mean, the other thing about Bono, and this will come up as well, is that there's a famous GQ interview from around 5 years, 2018, I think it is. And he was talking, this is with Quincy Jones, and he was talking about Bono. And he says, oh, when he's over this part of the world, he stays in Bono's castle. But at the same time, he said that Ireland and Scotland are so racist, it's frightening. That's what he said. Now, and he goes on, and he said many other things in that interview. He claimed he knew the truth about the JFK assassination. He outed Marlon Brando. He claimed he dated Ivanka Trump. He was asked about his girlfriends. I know Ruth Ann said he was a family man, you know, but he claimed at the time he had 22 girlfriends around the world.
Right.
Between the ages of 28 and 42, he was asked, would you not date a woman in your old age? He says, are you crazy? Me with an 84-year-old? And then he talked about Bono and himself meeting the Pope at the same time. And he commented that the Pope had pimp shoes to the Pope. And but he claimed later on, listen, that was a bit of brain vomit, that whole
thing. Yeah, a bit of brain vomit.
But it's there for people to read. It is worth checking out.
Yeah, okay. Arts journalist and broadcaster Pat Carty. Pat, thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.